You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Harold Falkenberg. He's in Germany at the moment, and he is a prominent art collector. Harold, thanks so much for being with me today.
Yes, thank you.
Harold, I want to talk a little bit about your collection, and many of our listeners may know of it already. But for those that don't, can you tell me a little bit about the scope of your collection, just so we understand? I know it's in a 6,000 square meter building now, but can you tell me how many pieces, if possible, and the range of the collection that you have?
The answer, there are about 2,000 pieces in the collection, and it's modern art, yes. And the scope of the collection has developed, yeah, as it often is, a little bit by chance, yes. I first was collecting German art of Martin Kippenberger, yes, and Albert Oehlen, Werner Büttner, and Franz West, yes, for instance. Also European art, Fallström, and others. So it is the art which is in a sort of rebellion with the traditional art, yes. And I would say it's and in the next step, it was when I started in the punk area, on a punk time in the late 70s, yes. And it's up to, from punk to today, somehow a collection, yes? So that was my first experiences. And then I turned to American art, connected somehow with this sort of art. I was one of the first collectors of works of Paul McCarthy, Mike Kelly, yes? Also of John Baldessari and Richard Prince, yes. So it's I work in the tradition of art as a counterpart to the society, if you want so, yes. And I also have a big collection of Paul Tech, yes? And so I combined these positions, these American and these European pieces together to a certain scope of counterculture, yes? That I would say as a general scope, yes? I would describe as a general scope, yes?
That makes sense.
Counterculture is, for me, a very interesting part of the art in general, because it goes back to the Renaissance, yes, where we have the art of also of the not of the traditional good, nice art, but counterpart. We say it's verkehrte Welt. I don't know exactly yet now the English expression, yes. And where we have art which shows artists with their works who say that the world is not so correct and as many people think, and especially as the politicians think, yes? And caricature is one of the moments, and so this is a long tradition going back to the Renaissance to the caricature, and goes over to Dada and to Fluxus after the Second World War, yes? Second World War.
Of course, and the role of the collector, you're saying, is as a defender in some ways against that?
What again? Yeah.
So the role of also the art, art the role of the art collector is also, I mean, as you're saying this, a defender against that. They are supporting a countercultural system, and as you're saying, going very far back, the notions of art that isn't acceptable.
Yes, it's a long tradition of counter art, yes, in the world, and this is the whole line of my collection, yes.
Yes, and Paul McCarthy, of course, is a good example of that, as are the rest. Paul Tech is absolutely one of my my favorite artists. Love his work enormously. Okay. How is it you came to collecting late, right? You started when you were 50. How did you begin acquiring work? What were some of the first works? And then I want to talk about relationships with artists and how they were built. So perhaps that feeds into this question, but perhaps you can say how you first got to know an artist. Was there a relationship with Paul Tech, for example?
Paul Tech came rather late, yes. My first connections were in Hamburg, where I met punk artists, or I say punk artists, as Martin Kippenberger, for instance, yes. And this was the way I turned later to when I started in 1994 to collect, yes, at the age of 50 years, yes. So it was, you can say it was a kind of midlife crisis. I had a positive midlife crisis, yes. So because I collected art before, but not art which I really like, Andy Warhol and others, where I'm not very familiar. I never became familiar with them, yes, because I wanted to collect art later which had more a political approach to art, yes, and art as an expression of the zeitgeist as an expression of the human conditions in the society, yes? And that was the approach. When I started with Paul McCarthy and Jason Rhodes and, especially Mike Kelly, from the beginning of 95 on, and in a way, for Europe, I discovered them as artists. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a time when the market was down and the art was very didn't cost very much, and so it was. I wrote about these artists, and another artist on which I wrote a lot is Philip Guston, yes, very favorite Philip Guston. So artists which wanted to get out of the normal trends, yeah, get away from the normal trends, yes, and say their own, yes, and that was my intention. And so step by step, I developed that. And the very young artists came later. So for me, Paul McCarthy was already in a sort of prominent. He had some exhibitions in Hamburg. I met Paul McCarthy and I became friends with him, yes. And also with Jason Rhodes later. And other artists naturally were more difficult, like Mike Kelly or Richard Prince. They didn't want to be disturbed too much, and a very nice person with whom I'm friends today is John Baldessari, for instance, yes? So it depends on the artist, and I had a big exhibition space. And my intention was also to show greater artworks, room-sized artworks of these of these artists, yes?
Installations, yeah, large-scale installations you have there.
Yeah, I have installations, and by these installations, I got into the very, let me say, automatically into a personal touch with the artists, yes? But I don't like to go to studios and because I feel the artists prefer to work by their own and and they don't accept very very easily visitors to talk to them. Yes, so my personal relationships to artists were built up in connection with the bigger installations. Yes.
Mm. Right, because I have to, of course, come there and spend more time there. Was the artist Paul Tech one that you had any relationship with or met?
No. Paul Tech, I naturally read several books on art, and one of my my best advisors, I would say, in the books was Mike Kelly, yes, who praised the art of Erwin Fahlström, yes, and who praised the art of Paul Tech, yes. And so I looked nearer to their works and also had visits at the Documenta to see their works, but I never met personally Erwin Fahlström or Mike Kelly or Paul Tech. I think he died in 88 or what was it? I don't know exactly, but it was. I couldn't meet him anymore. And he was also a difficult person, as you will know.
Yeah, which is, as you say, often the case. So when you're working with new artists, and I know this has been referred to in some articles as saying that you, in a sense, are a mentor to them. And this maybe ties into the art market, but when you see a new artist and you take interest in him or her, begin collecting this work, do you also help the artist or give them any kind of advice on how they're entering into the international art market, which so many artists have ambitions for?
Yeah, so that because I have these big places and I really exhibit the works of the artist, many artists came to me, yes, because they wanted to be exhibited in this, if you want, so prominent place I have, yes, but I never wanted to enforce any meetings, yes, came by themselves, it came by itself. By reading about them, by seeing the works and understanding them, my approach in general is not that of an art historian. I'm not an art historian, yes. I concentrate on the persons of the art, on the persons on the artist as a person, yes. When I write my essays, I try to understand their living, their approach, and when I have analyzed this, I have a much better approach to their art as well, yes? So this is not the way an art historian normally works, yes? And so also John Kessler of New York City, I wanted to understand them and yeah, in this way, this is also a friend of mine, so I wanted to know why does an artist do that? What are his decisions? What is he going to oppose? And that is my first interest, yes? And then I try to see how he handles this own approach with his art, yes? That is, I don't know whether I make myself understood, but this is the way I take totally differently from art history, yes?
Yeah, that's clear. It is clear what you're saying. And we've been talking about how you're collecting and approaches and relationships. The last thing I wanted to ask is also about the market. You come from a business background, and you're building a collection out of personal interest and cultural interest, but also this collection is worth a tremendous amount, and it has a relationship to the art market. So my question is just in terms of the art market, which I know you've written about in your essays and in the book of essays that's coming out most likely, could you speak a little bit about your relationship to that market and how you perceive it from there? You know, I'm in New York. We look at the art market one way here, and collectors look at it from a different point of view. So I'm curious as to your relationship to the art market and what your thoughts on that are, because you're contributing such a huge cachet of work to the global market, really.
Yeah, when I started in 1994, the market, the international market, was practically down. Yes, and I was never so much interested in the market and how values would develop, or to speculate on that. Yes, so I had a certain amount of money to spend annually. Yes. And then I looked out for artists which were in the scope I reported already, yes. And at that time, I bought the first Paul McCarthy's for $1,500 or so, yes. And I never was aware, or I never thought whether this would become very valuable after 10 years or whatsoever. That was never my intention, yes. But naturally today, this is different. Yeah, you are confronted with all the high prices, especially of many of my artists, yes. And you have to think it over what you do. Sometimes I replace positions to buy something else, yes. I've sold very little, and that's now more than 20 years, yes. Very little of my, I stayed very true with my artist, and that worked out, I think, yes. But the art market, naturally, today is very difficult, because especially the prices for the artist I prefer are very high, so that I only buy special pieces of them anymore. Yes. But in the beginning, I bought many of them, so I have of the artists, let's say, of three groups. There are the German artists, Kippenberger, Oehlen, Büttner, Herold. And then there are the American artists I told already of, and then I have international artists or other, Franz West, Fallström, and others. And so of these artists, I have mostly I have work groups of over 50 pieces. Yes, so that I have a certain overview on the work. Yes, so it's not piece by piece, but I try to collect in groups, yes. And today the art market is, if you want to say, the actual art market is very difficult with the postmodern art and many new artists which I don't know, and it's difficult. I become 73 years old, and I must say I try to work more with my artists and with these groups, and expand them carefully, yes, and write about them, think about them, and try to analyze the market in general, yes, yeah. Because the art market is also a big question for me. being a professor for art theory, yes. And so I have to understand the conditions also of the market. And see, we have the different, developments from the 60s, very much counterculture in the United States, 60s, early 70s. Then we have the conceptual art and theoretical art from the French theorists, yes. And then the whole system broke somehow together with the punk, yes. And in the 80s, there was so much money in the invested in art that you had a kind of neo-expressionism, yes. Then I was confronted with artists like Jeff Koons and others, but I must say I never got a real relationship to his art, yes. Yeah.
Well, just so you know, I've never had a relationship to Jeff Koons' art either.
Yes. Okay. And then in the 90s, it started again. There was a certain revival of the art of the 60s and 70s here in Europe. Yes. And
yes.
Most of the conceptual art, but where you had to deal with the conditions of how making art. Yes. It was the art of, for instance, Fraser, yes, and art which intervened into social connections, into social other conditions, yes, intervention art. And then in the 90s, this was a big time when the big fairs were made first, where the Biennale and Triennale, I think there are today maybe 100 over the whole world, yes, become very dominant with special art for these exhibitions, for this Biennale and Triennale. It meant big installations and multimedia installations, yes. So that's I have some, but not so much. And I was more about gender art and all these questions of human life conditions. Yes, yes.
Mm.
And I stayed with that until today, more or less. So I don't buy art from the aesthetical point of view. Yes, and I'm not enthusiastic about art. I just want to find out how well art describes the conditions how we live. Yes, that is my intention. I understand myself more as a reporter, if you want so. Yes, yeah. Of this, so I must have, or my intention is, or I must have a certain distance to the art and to the artist to think about it, yes? So I have some personal friends, but we don't speak too much about art, but more about politics and other things, yes? So we want to avoid... to become too directly involved, and my understanding is also that the artists don't need consulting from me. Yes, they know what they do. Yes, it is so my approach.
And what will happen with your collection? Is it? I know you've worked with a state. Is it a collection that can be sold, or will it become part of a museum collection eventually? I've talked to different collectors. Some keep their collection available to be sold and traded. Others are going to, continue to give parts of their collections to museums throughout their life. What are your plans for the future of your collection?
This is a difficult question, but I'm collaborating with one of the biggest exhibition houses in Hamburg, Deichtorhallen. Perhaps you know this house, one of the biggest exhibition houses in Europe. And I've loaned my rooms and also my artworks to them. And this is now scheduled until for a long time, until 2023, yes. And then we will meet a decision whether this whole collection stays in Hamburg, yes. Otherwise, if not possible, I will give it to museums who are interested in special parts of this collection. Yeah, but my intention is not to sell it. Yes, this would be only the last choice. Nobody wants to have it, but it doesn't seem to be so. Yes, yeah.
That's good. That's good to hear. And it's been wonderful talking to you. In closing, I know you have a book of essays that's going to be published soon. Do you know the date when that's going to be published? And can you tell us anymore?
Yeah. It's ready. I've written some books, but it comes from my book is from the Machine Room of Art. It's the title. Yeah, Machine Room is not a good title, but that is the title, and with the essays on the artist, it should appear in March, April next year in New York, yes? Yeah. But it's already translated, everything, and it will come, yes. And so I will, I've also to the republishing houses, which naturally I cannot earn money with them, for art theory and for I want to continue to write on art and to with the money I have to support these publishing houses in the end of the day. Yes, that is my intention. So I hope that I will have enough money to make my living until I die, and that's it. My children are also okay with that, so I don't have to. They are okay that I give it to the public, yes? Yeah.
Well, I hope so, too. Harold, thanks so much for talking with me today. It's really been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.